To the Splashous Ass podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quimby. Today we're here with Cab J Furious 5.
I've already lost it. I never had it, but if I did, I lost it by now. So we're here to recap Jeff Lewis Live for the week of May 28th to May 31st. I think it's because we're fresh off the Friday episode and Jeff and Megan were fawning over Bridgerton. Bridgerton! So that's why I blame that British outburst for. Because I just like to blame anything except my own weird ass self. Starting with the Tuesday episode, we had Monica Casey and Joey Zauzig. No, it was actually Chaz Dean. Haha, silly me. I just couldn't tell because they have the exact same fucking voice. My dream in life is to get Joey and Chaz on an episode of JLL together, at the exact same time, exact same place, prove that they aren't twins. Prove that they're not the exact same person. Because right now, I just don't buy it. I close my eyes and it's Joey, I open them, and it's Chaz, so. Moving on, Shane is hungover. What else the fuck is new? No, he's not hungover all the time. He's in his 20s, give the kid a break. It's so weird getting old. I know I'm only 32, but still I'm like, oh, my 20s, what a cute little munchkin I was. More like an awful, self-sabotaging gremlin troll, but we'll go with whatever the first thing I said. Okay, so Shane is hungover because they went out for a Monday fun day. Monday fun day, woo! How else would we celebrate Memorial Day? Fuck getting all your friends together for an average neighborhood barbecue, and let's just go to High Tops instead. Let's just go to the fucking Abbey. Let's just make out with strippers all night. Woo! Who's with me, baby? Unsa. I guess that's Jeff's dream day. Because, mind you, Jeff always talks about other people, like, taking vacation days or whatever. I mean, I guess he hasn't recently. But that's because nobody really takes vacation now. And Jameson took jury duty and Jeff shit on him for the whole week. Like, oh, Jameson just wants to get out of his hosting duties by pretending he has jury duty. But really, he's just in the bathroom taking a duty. And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so cross, talking about the ass so quick. So my whole thing, though, is if you always wish that you had a day off, and then you finally get your one fucking day off, riddle me why you do the exact same thing that you do all the other fucking time. Like Jeff Lewis going out, getting drunk at a bar, and making out with a stranger in public. That's a normal Tuesday night. That's not a day off activity. Like a day off, that's what you save and you do a huge thing. You need to come up with some hobbies. Like Jill Zarek, get a hobby. Why don't you guys like go horseback riding or something? I don't know. Go to the beach. I don't know. Go get sushi. I don't know. Those sound like fun things to me. Go rollerblading. That sounds like fun. Oh my God. Shane could be the rollerblading one and he could have a rope attached to him. And then Jeff, like Toby's leash. And then Jeff grabs on to Toby's leash and holds on to it on his rollerblades. And then Shane just goes and Jeff just holds on tight and Shane pulls him along. This is what sounds fun to me. But sure, Jeff, go make out with strippers at the Abbey instead. Not that that isn't fun. It's not that that's not fun, but I don't know. Is anybody else looking for something? I'm more. I need you to, yeah, get a hobby. Do so. Let's, what about crew? What if this summer we start crew rowing? Crew rowing out on the, I feel like you need to utilize where you live, and you live in a beautiful place. Lots of trash in the ocean. I don't know. It's like polluted waters everywhere. I went to Long Beach and we made the mistake of actually going to the beach. And when I told my aunt, she was like, ew, what? I didn't tell you to go to the beach when you stayed at our house. And I was like, what do you mean? But it's in the name. It's in the name of the place, Long Beach. I had to see if the beach was short or not. And it wasn't. It was long, but it was long, long, long stretches of trash floating in water. And that was the beach. So, allegedly, Orange County is nice and Malibu is things that people sing songs about. But other than that, I understand why Jeff is in, like, paddle boarding, doing paddleboard yoga on his days off. Because unless you're doing it in your pool, can you paddleboard yoga in a pool would be so fucking fun. That is my idea of a good, that is what I would do. We can go to High Tops and the Abbey. That's fine. But first, we're doing an activity, like a real activity. So maybe that's what they did, because Jeff didn't say, Shane wanted to go home the whole night, basically. All of Monday, he wanted to be at home on the couch, like all of us do. Because here's the thing, I can sit here and say, oh, on your day off, you should do all these fun activities that you never get to do, and all of that. But really, at the core of it, Jeff is, what he did is right. Like, that's what we all do. That's human nature. No matter what, at the end of the day, you do what you're comfortable doing. And Jeff is so comfortable just going out, getting drunk, and making out with strippers, as I've said 3 times already this episode. Now, what I'm comfortable doing is staying in, watching reality TV, and ordering takeout. Like, that is my dream day off. That's my dream ever. That's just my life. I live my dream. You guys know I occasionally do a thing or two. I go for an activity. But I think what's throwing me off with Jeff and his life recently is because he went from Gage, this 10-year relationship, super long beach, and then it went right to Scott, and then it went right to Stu, like immediately to Stu, which is all fine. I'm not being a Judge Judy, Jeff, about this, maybe about some other things, but not about this. And so I guess I just never have seen Jeff so single. So hashtag so single. I've never seen him so single. And it's almost like as a single person, he's lashing out. He's like lashing out in a way that someone who's comfortable being single, like say Doug Buden or I, we're fine with it. Like, we don't need to make out with a bunch of people to feel like we're wanted. We just know that we're wanted by people who haven't made it known to us yet, but they're out there. They're out there somewhere, maybe. And you could be like Jeff. Like, I could go out right now and get drunk and make out with a stripper and probably get robbed at the same time. I could live an LA life too if I went to the right parts of town. The wrong parts, according to some people. But yeah, so it's just all however you want to live. And so it's just, I just didn't know that this is how Jeff wants to live, you know? Like, I'm happy. He's said it before this week. He's living his best life. And that's, I'm happy for him. It's just that I thought that he was in a toxic situation every time he was in a relationship. But now I think he might just be a toxic person. Like, it seems like everything's just toxic. Like, okay, sure, you can go out and make out with everybody around town, get all the fucking mononucleosis you want, all the kissing disease you want, little mouth whore, you little mouth slut, sorry, donkey tooth, you're the donkey tooth slut now, Jeffrey, with those fucking veneers. My, how full circle we have come. You're a donkey tooth slut. Oh my god, that's hilarious. Okay. I also, when I cackled just now, my mouth, like my lips, like curled up, and I just looked like a donkey tooth slut. I just had to like self self-depreciate myself. I always am so scared that I'm trying to say self-depreciate and I end up saying self-defecate. You guys, add this to the list of fears that nobody else on this planet has. Because I have a very See, now I can, all I can think is self-defecating, self-depreciating sense of humor. And I mean, at the end of the day, who doesn't love a defecation? So unless you're Johnny Depp and a dog or a human or somebody defecates in your bed while you're sleeping. Why are we here? Why? I love the tangled webs I weave my mind into as I'm recapping JLL, but sometimes I want like the blueprint out of it. Like, how did I end up talking about Johnny Depp in with laying in bed with shit? I don't know. I don't, Jeff's relationship status? I think he needs to be in a relationship. I think toxic relationships are actually better for him than the toxic single life he's currently living. And I'm really not trying to single shame. You know, you can be a donkey too slut if you want. You can be a mouth whore if you want. It's fine. I just didn't know that was your brand, Jeff. I didn't know that is what you enjoy doing. You're living your best life by being a PDA whore in public. I didn't know that's what your best life was. Mine looks just a little different. So happy for you, sad for the stable reputation I once believed you to have. I once thought, I really did. I thought Jeff and stable, I thought those words went together. And now I realize they do go together. You just have to throw in a knot somewhere in there. Like, not Jeff being stable. What? Or Jeff's not stable. Or Jeff stable? Not. Same, Jeff. Same. All right? We can both have self-defecating humor. Because we full of shit. No, okay. Moving on JLL. Jeff cannot wait to taunt Aurora. Just like I've kind of been taunting him for the past 10 minutes. So basically, Jolie Fisher gave Jeff a whole line of her beauty products, new skincare, whatever you're now hawking these days. Okay, we'll buy it. Well, I won't, but maybe you guys will. And Jeff is giving them away to his housekeepers. Give it away now. Except it's starting World War III. Because of the way he's doing it. Again, it's never what you do. It's the way you do it. It's not that Jeff is giving out freebies to his housekeepers. It's that he's giving out freebies and then to certain housekeepers and then texting the other ones to be like, haha, you didn't get the freebie. This housekeeper did. He is JoJo Siwa. He's a grown-up JoJo Siwa. I want Chaz Dean, Joey Zauzig, Jeffrey Lewis, and JoJo Siwa on one episode of JLL together and just see who walks out of the studio alive. My money's on JoJo. Pull it together. Okay. Now I'm going to channel my rage for Jolie Fisher on her behalf, because Jolie is over here. I don't care if she's hawking a million products, okay? She still chose to give Jeffrey Lewis her new skincare line. I'm not sure if he posted about it, but even if he did or if he didn't, like, he's not even using it. He just gave it all away. And I get that Leah Black gives him skincare. He has enough. He has enough shit. He has his own skincare that he actually wants to use that his friends didn't give him to hawk their line. I'm just going to see how many times I can say hawk this episode. Hawk a loogie with Louie and Teresa and her daughter sipping water. Okay, so I'm just saying, like, if I was Jolie Fisher and I was listening to JLL and I heard that he's giving away my products that I gave him for free and he's using it to try and create some sort of tension with, no. You get then none for you and none for Gretchen Wieners, and Jeff is Gretchen Wieners, and now he gets none. Like, you can buy them from Jolie. How about that? How about that supporting your friend? Your friend shouldn't have to give you her skincare line for free. You and your rich ass wallet should be buying your friend's skincare line. Be a supporter. At the very least, what Jeffrey could do is save things like Jolie Fisher's whatever skincare and either tell her this beforehand or offer her like something in reimbursement, like a gift card. I don't know. Are gift cards still a thing? Maybe like take Jolie out to dinner, but save Jolie's 8-piece skincare and do a giveaway at the next JLL live event. Like make it so that like all the chump products are like part of the giveaway, you know? That's what I would do. Although I am happy that his housekeepers are getting free things. We all love free shit. I used to work at a 5-star, I don't even know what it was, a cult? No, it was a club. It was a secret members only club. And that's how I learned about Lululemon's, because some rich bitch left them behind, didn't want them anymore. I tossed them in the wash, threw some Downy Tide detergent on it, and called it a day. Now they're mine. My lemons. You lemons went to Mimi lemons. Amy lemons. Okay, so, and I do understand, like, say this line, the skincare line is specifically for women. Of course, Jeff isn't going to use it or, like, save it for Monroe for 10 years from now. 10 years from now, I have Jolie Fisher's moisturizing nightly serum to put on. No. Jolie will have 20,000 new skincare lines by then. But it just feels like one step below Mercedes Javid selling Chaz Dean's product that he gave her on Poshmark for $50. Like, I'm half expecting Jeff to tell Aurora, like, I'll save this for you, but I'm taking it out of your paycheck. When he always says that, I think it's Maria. Maria's the door charger, right? Yes. So his housekeeper, Maria, he always loves to say, she's a door charger. And before he explains it every single time, what I picture in my head is like Maria as a bouncer at Chateau Louis. And she's just standing at the front door before she goes in. And she like charges Jeff a cover fee before she'll enter the chateau. Like, I don't, like, she's a door charger. She charges at the door for you to, for her to work for the day. Like, I need an extra 100 just to walk across this threshold right now into the chaos that is Chateau Louis. Okay, so then moving on JLL, we get our weekly update on Oscar's dating life, what we have all been waiting to hear about. And we find out that he's on Bumble. Now, Monica Casey makes an amazing point. She's like, wait, isn't that app for girls? Like, specifically made for girls to make the first move? Why are you on it, Oscar, and you're talking to guys on it? Like, then who makes the first move there? Genius. Genius, Monica, for your critical thinking and how this app affects women, because I'm sure nobody else in the studio was thinking about this. But honestly, I signed up for Bumble maybe a year ago, and I was so livid. I'm pretty sure I wrote a tier 1 letter to them because of this exact issue. Because at the time, when you're first signing up, you can say, like, I'm a woman interested in men, women, non-binary, unicorns, bestiality, I'm into elves, I'm into like whatever your niche is, they will niche it for you. And so niche, they will niche it for you. So with Bumble specifically, of course, you should not discriminate and only have heterosexual. Why did I just say hetero? I just said hetero, so hetero? I feel like Megan Weaver right now. I'm just like pronouncing everything slightly off, but I kind of love it. Okay, so if you're not a heterosexual couple, you should absolutely still be allowed to use the app, of course. However, the only person that it negatively affects is now women. It's a circle of life. It all comes back to like somehow discriminating against women. Because if you are gay on the app, if you are a guy trying to date a guy, then you both can send messages to each other first, no matter what. Fine. If you're a girl trying to date a girl, you can both send messages to each other first. If you are a guy trying to date a non-binary, you can send messages. The only person who cannot receive a message first is a straight woman on that app. A straight girl. A straight girl can't get a fucking hello to save her life, her goddamn life. But she has to send them out like they're fucking Monopoly money. Like everybody can get a hello. No, because Monopoly money is fake. Just like that, hellos are fake. Like I would not say, I would not make the first move with all of these guys. They should be making, they should be the one to try to cross this threshold, okay? This golden threshold. So I'm just saying that it annoyed the shit out of me that if I was gay, then anybody could message me first. But for some reason, because I'm straight, I had to be the one to message the boys first. Fuck that. Like, Bumble, just get, as they, I think they did, like, get rid of that rule that only straight girls could message straight boys first, but everybody else using the app, no matter your sexuality, could message the other person first. So again, it really only affected straight girls and I guess straight boys, but who cares about them? I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking. Equality for all. Okay, so Jeff went to Zach Noe Tower's house over the weekend with a bunch of people to watch scary movies. Now, Jeff was getting so frustrated, as he always does when he recaps the plot of scary movies. He gets so annoyed because he's like, you watch these movies and you're watching it unfold on the screen in front of you. And these characters are making the most awful choices, the most obvious, awful choices for their own well-being. And they don't get it. And it's so frustrating. I was like, Jeff, tell me about it. Tell me about it, stud. Ew. No, but really, it felt like it was me talking about Jeff Lewis Live. Like, oh my, you're just watching it unfold in front of your eyes, all these awful choices. And it's like, it's so obvious that you're making the wrong decisions. Why aren't you making the right one? And so, Jeff, maybe those scary movies are a little more relatable than you first even thought. Okay, then caller Lisa, she makes an appearance and she was... She was helping Chaz Dean run his QVC ad during the episode. And so she was like, oh my God, Chaz, I use all of your products. I use them all the time. I love them. I just got the hair dryer. I have this thick, long hair. I'm 59, by the way, if you can even believe it. And this long hair, the blow dryer works perfect. It works perfect. And I was just like, ah. First of all, the fact that she was like, I'm 59, by the way, if you can believe it. Yeah, we can believe it. We can believe it. Just based off your voice alone, Lisa. Put down the Marlboro lights. I'm sorry. I love you, Lisa. I love you. But it was just hilarious to like be on radio and be calling in. Like, it's not even like it's in the JLL studio where you can at least watch the video version if you so choose, but you can't see the callers calling in. So for Lisa to be like, I'm 59, by the way, if you can believe it. What else are we to believe? What else? It's not like we can see. You don't look 21 to us. We can't even fucking see you. So it's like, yeah, I do believe you're 59. That was a great moment. Great moment. Moving on to even better moments. On the Wednesday episode, we had Carrie Lewis and Chaz Dean. Oh, no, wait. It was Joey Zazig. Zazu! Zazu, come this way to Chaz Dean's salon, Simba. So Lily tried, wait, Lily the housekeeper, oh my gosh, who we definitely did not discuss one time at all during last week's episode, Lily tried to take back her resignation. I've never heard of such a thing. Oh man, that really made my soul giggle. Like, I can't believe you disobey your boss's orders, you get ripped apart on live radio, you put in your resignation, and then you're like, you know what? After a good night's sleep, I realized what I did wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. I still want to stick around Chateau Lewis. Jeff, I'm good. Just rip up that resignation letter. Jeff was like, no, no, thank you. I think I'm going to keep it as is. So you're still fired. You're fired. I mean, you quit. You still quit. You quit. Okay, so then we talk about Joey's separation slash divorce from his McHusband, as I like to call it, because they never officially got married and signed a marriage certificate. It was just them having a wedding ceremony. And that's fine, but as I've said before, even if I don't know about my own life and marriage and how I feel about that, I still respect the importance that marriage has on somebody's life. Like, you're literally, it's a business transaction, really, when it comes down to it. Your taxes are together, all your income is combined. Like, it's just a huge legal mess if you're actually married. So I think married people should have a layer of respect that people who only have a marriage ceremony and do not actually legally get married should have. Like, it's not the same. It's not the same. And I get that Joey and his McHusband, and again, it's Mick because it's like McDonald's. It's like a fast food version of a marriage. It's just the fast food, easy drive-through version. So him and his McHusband have a house together, and they have dogs together. So that definitely makes it a little fuzzier. Literally fuzzier with all of the dog fur, except that Joey hasn't even gotten to have his clothes covered in that dog fur in months. Because ever since Joey's McHusband randomly broke up with him, he took the dogs and then bolted. He bolted and won't let Joey see them. How is that legal? I would literally show up to wherever this fool is and just take, like, he obviously has to take them for walks, so find out, stalk him. No, I'm I give the worst advice ever. I'm like, go commit stalking and theft in the first degree. No. I don't understand how somebody can take your animals and you not see them. Like, I would literally burn the planet down. Which I guess humans are doing anyways, so I would just be speeding up the process. All right, then Cassie from Dallas calls in. This was wild, you guys. Okay, first she starts off by, like, going around the room, giving everybody their own personal greeting, as if it's Cassie's show, as if it's Cassie live, Cassie from Dallas live. No, she was so nice, actually, she was a little unhinged. So she's like, oh my God, Carrie, I love you. Joey, I love you. Jeff, I love you. But Jeff, I need your perspective. All right, how do you do a Southern accent? I can't believe this is even my life, she said. But my husband, see, we're both 50 years old. Can you believe it, Jeff? Can you even believe that we're 50? Yes, Cassie, we can believe that everybody is their age because we can't fucking see you. So there's no other choice but to believe you. If you told us you were 12, we would believe you. Why would we think you're lying? Sorry, I'm taking out my rage on caller Lisa, was it? Caller Lisa? I'm 59, by the way, Jeff, if you can even believe it. Yeah, we can, Lisa, we can. All right, sorry, Cassie. Cassie's the Southern Belle, except, oh my God, the Southern Belle with rage from hell, because you guys, again, this was crazy. So she was like, me and my husband, we're both 50. He came home from work this Saturday. Now, would you believe it, Jeff? I hope you're clutching your pearls because you're going to need to in a minute. Now, within an hour from moving our daughter home from college, this motherfucking fool just looked at me in my goddamn eyes. He said he hasn't been happy with his life or himself for years. For years, Jeffrey. Can you believe it? For years. And he handed me a cashier's check for $25,000. What am I supposed to do with $25,000 but wipe my little ass? I'm sorry, that's just some self-deprecating humor right there. And then my husband told me he was leaving. You guys, this is... If you think I'm being dramatic, or if you're like, did she just do a monologue from Gone with the Wind? Like, what the fuck was that? No, this was Cassie from Dallas. This was Cassie from Dallas on Wednesday's episode. This was so crazy to me because out of nowhere, she calls in for Jeff's perspective on her husband writing her $25,000 check and saying he wants to leave her. What perspective do you need? What do you want? What do you want us to say, Cassie? Oh, Cassie, you just gotta suck his dick a little harder and he'll be all right. He'll be all right. Like, what the fuck do you mean? What perspective do you want? All right, sounds like you married an arsehole. An arsehole. Oh my God, I just can't. And you probably wish that you got Mick married at this point. You wish you got Mick married, but that's what I'm saying, is that Cassie is actually married to this fool who gives her $25,000 and says he's leaving her. Also, what was so weird about that is that Cassie said that it was after moving her daughter home from college. So for me, it was like, it would make sense if your daughter left for college and your husband was like, woohoo, our house is empty and now I'm free to fuck whoever. But that wasn't the case. Instead, it was like your daughter moves home with you guys and now you're like, whoa, I'm gonna go rent a 250 square foot apartment with this $25,000 check I also wrote myself. I wrote one for my wife and one for me so we can both live on $25,000. Like, what the fuck? But it was just so weird to call into JLL and be so excited. She was like, I can't believe I got through and I can finally ask my Lord and Savior, Jeff Lewis, for his true advice and wisdom to pass on to me. Now, what should I do? Because my husband left me last night. I don't know, lady. Have you ever listened to Goodbye Earl? Goodbye Earl by the Chicks? That's my advice to you, okay? Say goodbye, Earl. You gotta know the song to get it, but if you do, you'd probably agree with me. Also, and she kept on being like, I am blindsided. I did not know this would ever be my life. Did anybody ever think that this would be their life? Has anybody ever been like, I can't, like, even if it's good or if it's bad, no matter if you achieved all your dreams, you're like, I can't believe this is my life. And if none of your dreams come true and nightmares happen instead, and your husband moves your daughter home, and right as the U-Haul screeches out of the driveway, all of a sudden he hands you the check and says that he packed his stuff in the U-Haul. He unpacked his daughter's stuff into their house and then repacked it with all of his stuff. Because, you know, they're renting in the U-Haul for 24 hours, so you might as well use it when you can. Use it while you can. Oh my God, that's so awful. I don't mean to make jokes about your hardships, Cassie, but really, you called in unhinged, ma'am. And I can see why. I can see why. It sounds like you need a girl's trip. Sounds like you need to drink some margaritas on the beach, but not call into Jeff Lewis live. What the fuck is he gonna do to you? Not to you. What is he gonna do for you? What is Jeff Lewis gonna say that will make you feel better? None of us knew what to say. There was silence in the studio, and all you could hear in my household, it sounded like thunder. It sounded like crackling thunder was my hyena laugh. My hyena laugh at Cassie. I was blindsided. I didn't know that was where her story was going. And for it to end with her husband leaving her, it was just hilarious. Moving on to the Thursday episode, we had Shayna Mokler and Carnival Wilson. Hey, Mr. Wilson. Hey, Carney Wilson. Why was Dennis the Menace so prevalent in my childhood life? And I haven't heard of him since. He's never been on the nostalgia train. I've never heard any millennials in their elder years be like, you know who I really miss? You know who needs a reboot? Dennis the goddamn Menace. But I love that little fool. I love that hooligan. Okay, so Jeff and Shayna met in the most LA way ever. Most LA way ever. They're both getting Botox at their smoothie spot. No, they both share the same psychic. You want to know what was crazy about this? What was so motherfucking crazy is that Shayna was like, oh my God, we do share the same psychic. Sharia! I was like, is that like a phrase? Is she speaking a different language? Is that like, ay caramba? Is she like, ay Sharia? No, you guys, no. It was, she meant to say Sharia. Because you want to know what Sharia is? Sharia's not a what. Sharia's a who. She's a ma'am. Not a who from Whoville. She's a ma'am. It's Scary Sherry. It's Scary Sherry. Jeff is like, oh yeah, I call her Scary Sherry. And Shayna was like, oh, I call her by her real name, Sharia. And I was like, Sharia? Shabuka, Shawuka, what the fuck is happening? What do you mean, Sharia? What do you mean? Talk about psychics. I never saw that one coming. Never saw that one. I didn't know Sher. What? Sher. Scary Sherry, scary, scary Sherry. Remember that Sherry Baby song? I used to work in this giant gift store and there was an old ice cream shop attached to it. When I say old ice cream shop, I don't mean like old ice cream, that the antique ice cream. They let it age for 20 years and then they serve it. No, it was just like a 1950s style. And so we always had like Bobby Darin pumping through the speakers and scary Sherry, Sherry Baby, Sherry. I fucking love that song. Okay, so, sure, but to learn that it's actually Scary Sharia, onomatopoeia, like wouldn't want to be ya, who the fuck is she, Scary Sherry? Who are you? I don't like learning that somebody's name isn't their real name without knowing it first. Like, you can go by a different name if you would like. I just need to know, for starters, my options. With addressing you. And that's why I try to tell you guys as many times as I can, in case there's new listeners, that my name isn't exactly Amy Quinley, but it's Amy Quinn, and I spell it phonetically with A, so whatever, at least I tell you. Also, speaking of new listeners, you guys, tell me this isn't terrifying. Tell me this isn't scary, okay? Sherry, is this scary to you? I got 150 downloads overnight from Hong Kong, China. Why is a Hong Kong, China PC downloading 150 episodes of Splash's Sass, unless they're using my ratchet voice as the next AI bot? Can you imagine? I'm like giving you directions and I'm like, turn right. I said turn right now, motherfucking bitch. Okay, so Carney and Shayna are both Playboy centerfolds. They share that in common, except they had to ask Shayna twice, the Playboy people, if she would be in their magazine, because the first time, her fiancé then, Oscar de la Hoya, he said, absolutely no, absolutely not. You cannot do a Playboy centerfold picture of pictorial with your nips out, a niptorial. But Carney was like, why wouldn't he want you to be in Playboy? I don't get it. Doesn't he love Playboy? And Shayna was like, obviously, but he's a Latino man. So, you know, jealousy. I mean, she didn't say jealousy, but like, this is exactly what I was saying to you guys last week about guys who will subscribe to all these girls' OnlyFans and they're like, oh my God, this girl's amazing. Look at her, shake that ass, whatever. But then if they dated a girl who was on OnlyFans, they don't want to. They don't want to date a girl who's on OnlyFans. And it's like, but you pay for other girls' OnlyFans. So, and even with Oscar de la Hoya, it's like, sure, I bet you look at Playboy, but you don't want your girl to be in Playboy because somehow you think that makes your girl seem less valued, like she's just a hoe. But when it comes down to it, your boys either see you as a hoe or a housewife and there's not much in between and they don't want you. If they see you as one, they don't want you to be the other, but they need both. They want both. They want hoes and it's just, yeah, again, welcome to the world of being a girl. Shout out to all the Bumble strugglers who had to reach out to all those fools first for so many years. I guarantee that if Shayna Mokler had done Playboy before she met Oscar de la Hoya, he would have been fine with dating her. He would have been fine with it. But it's something about when the guy is with the girl, when they're in a relationship, like, then she can only be for his consumption, but he can still consume other girls' content. Like, none of it makes sense. But again, such is life. Okay, so Jameson had jury duty. Blackmail, bop, bop, people. And Carney just got out of hers. Shayna was like, oh my gosh, I've never had that. Jeff was like, me neither. I've never even gotten a single letter for it. Like, isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? And that is honestly another one of my biggest fears, a biggest irrational fear is, what if I've got, because I'm the same as Jeff, I've never gotten a letter. So I think, but I'm also notoriously awful with mail. I'm just all like, it all looks like junk to me. So I just want to throw it all away. But I forget that there's actually sometimes important shit that they send you. So like, what if I have been summoned to the juror and I just never showed up? Like, well, how do I know? How do you know? It should be like one of the housewives' invites to a party where they like have somebody come and knock at your door and actually present the invitation to you. Like, I need my mailman to certifiably hand it into my hands and know that I'm going to be on jury duty, or then I'm in risking perjury to the 12th degree. Is perjury even the right word? I don't know, it sounded like legal-esque. It also sounds like the place where binge eaters stay. Instead of purgatory, they're just stuck in perjury. Because they purge all the time. Anybody want to laugh for the eating disorder jokes? No? Okay, all right. So let's just move the fuck on. So Anne calls in. Anne, she had to apologize for a 25-year regret that she has had with Shayna Mokler. Basically, Shayna and Oscar De La Hoya, they were standing in front of her at a taco stand, and Shayna was pregnant at the time and felt sick, but Oscar was like, what are you getting to eat? And Shayna was like, nothing. And he's like, you must eat, fool! And she was like, fine. So she had to eat anyways. And then this caller, Anne, who was standing behind her overheard and has felt guilty for 25 years that she didn't stand up to Oscar De La Hoya and tell him that his pregnant wife wasn't hungry. Like, what the fuck, Anne? What the fuck? I get that you want to be an auntie. You feel like an auntie, Anne. I understand. We love your pretzels. However, you don't need to barge into everybody's life and like be in everybody's conversation, whatever. If you overhear that, great, fine. That's up for Shayna to decide to handle. And like, if she doesn't want to eat, she doesn't have to eat. And if Oscar De La Hoya is forcing her to, then that's called an abusive relation and you would get out, hopefully. So, I don't know what caller Anne could have done to make the situation better. It just seemed like the strangest regret to ever have in your life, to be like, 25 years ago, I should have told that wrestler not to tell that other lady beauty queen to eat a taco. What the fuck? What do you want to, like, what an innocent regret to have, Anne, is all I'm trying to say, I guess. Because if you want to talk regrets, I could horrify you with the regrets that have come out of my fucking actions, but sure, you can regret not standing up for a pregnant lady at a taco stand. That's great. Okay, so then Shayna lets us know that she finally got hot her junior year of high school. This isn't important to Splash Assassors because we don't give a fuck about how people look. We just want to have fun. We just want to have a little fucking fun. I mean, we care a little bit about look, just a little bit. Like, you know, brush your teeth and whatever. But if you don't floss all the time, it's fine. It's fine. My whole thing about Shayna and her high school is that her high school equals my high school. That bitch stole my high school. She stole my hometown. Motherfucker. No, fun trivia fact. Shayna Mokler is from my hometown. So shout out Rhode Island. Her dad was a dentist. That's all we knew. It was like folklore, you know, like, oh, Shayna Mokler. Ah, Mokler's folklore. But it was like, oh, Shayna Mokler's from this town. And we were, and our young brains, all we could think is, then why the fuck doesn't she bring Blink 182 here to perform at our graduation or perform at our prom? Like, what the fuck is the point of having a famous person from your hometown if they never do anything for your hometown? What have you done for us, Shayna? Shayna Mokler. That's why you've turned into folklore. Folklore. All the small things suck a cock ring. Moving on to the Friday episode. Oh my God. We had Megan Weaver. Oink, 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 oink. Reba, Reba, Reba. Megan Weaver. Reba, Reba. And Doug Buden. And Doug Buden. Doug, I'm very excited for you as well, but you've been a regular for months and months now, and Megan's been weaving in and out of the studio, so we missed her so much. Oh, and we had Shane Lewis in the motherfucking house. Oink, 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 oink. Or Shane Douglas, whatever you fucking want to call him. You call him what you want. I'll call him Maybe. So call me Maybe. I always used to, when that song came out and people would be singing it, I'd be like, hey, Maybe. And they'd be like, what? I'd be like, you said you wanted me to call you Maybe. Amy, that's not funny. And I was like, ah. What was that Maybe? I couldn't hear you. So call me Maybe. So Jeff flipped out. finally, he got out that rage that we've been holding for Lily. No, honestly. Okay, so he flipped out on his driver, Arthur the aardvark, last night, because Arthur followed Google Maps instead of Jeff's directions. And this was the best part of it all, is Jeff kept being like, I wanted to be involved in the route planning from LA to Orange County, because we are driving from Chateau Lewis to the improv theater where we did our live JLL show. And I wanted to be involved in the route planning. I'm like, Jeff, what do you mean involved? What do you mean involved? Like, what the? There's two ways to be involved, right? You either give Arthur the route that you want to take the second you get into the car, or you sit next to Arthur and you are a passenger seat driver and you just tell him exactly which left to take, turn here, skirt through that red light, like whatever. But if you're just going to sit in the back and talk to your friends and lose track of everything and then just scream at Arthur in the middle of his route because he didn't listen. You didn't give him any directions. If you want to be involved, then be involved. You don't, what the fuck? And what do you mean be involved in route planning? Just let Google Maps do it. And also, for Jeff to be angrier at Arthur the driver, than he was at Lily, the housekeeper that betrayed his trust with his daughter getting her water. It was just, I'm so happy to see that Jeff is directing his anger accordingly. So correct. Speaking of driving with Jeff in the car, do you remember that time the car in front of Jeff had a table fly off of it and it landed under Jeff's car? He was driving on the highway with a fucking table under his car. I think about it so much, like way too often, and it just makes me cackle. But I saw that happen live. I saw that happen live this weekend, you guys. It wasn't a table though, it was mattresses. And for some reason, I was in the fast lane, obviously, and this car was in the slow lane, as it should be. And it had two mattresses tied to the top of it. And I looked over right as I was passing it, and just watch the buckle fly up into the air, unstrap itself, and watch the mattresses doink, 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 bouncing off into the highway, right into the middle of the lane. And I saw the car behind it swerve, so everybody starts swerving. And I literally almost wanted to pull over and just, like, wait to watch somebody get into an accident. No, that's so twisted. I know I have an evil troll that lives in my soul. I don't know how else to tell you. You get it. But not that I want anyone to die or get hurt, but it's just like, it felt like I was watching an action scene in a movie play out, but I didn't get to watch the real action happen yet. Like, to watch mattresses fly off of a car, slam onto the highway, bouncing, flouncing around, and then watch car after car swerve, swerve, swerve. Of course I want to see the main event happen. I want to see somebody rumble and tumble. And they'd be fine, because even if they crash, whatever, like, all right, you land on a mattress. You'll bounce back. Literally, you'll bounce back. Okay, I just had to share that fun fact. Okay, so, and speaking of fun, today's episode was fun with Meggie and Dougie back in the studio together. They were just in good spirits and, like, giggly, and it made me happy. Doug called Megan a ninny. It was... It was just like old times. It was great. Now, I don't know if Megan needs a break every now and then, if she can only be on like once a month in order for her to be in these great spirits and actually be able to like joke around with Jeff and not have his insults actually affect her, because he will mask his insults as just being, it's his humor, you guys. He's just being hilarious. Why aren't you laughing? Why aren't you laughing when he tells you that you're an ugly fucking toad? It's just funny. It's just funny, isn't it? No, but I'm just happy that they all had fun at the JLL live event last night, minus this one drunk chump who was eating not chicken nachos. Chicken nachos, are those a thing? And she started rubbing her greasy hands on the girl's shirt in front of her. What the fuck? Who the fuck are people? No, it's actually fascinating to start the week and end the week with outrageous public displays of behavior. PDBs. Forget the PDAs. Forget your affection. We care about your overall behavior, your PDB. And we started on one end of the spectrum of fun PDB, fun slutty, donkey too slutty PDB by making out with strippers at the Abbey, Jeff Lewis, which that's fun. That's fun PDB. Then on the not fun end of the spectrum, we have this chicken nacho chump wiping her little mitts on a poor little victim in the front row. Like, who are you to rub your greasy paws all over somebody? Especially an innocent person sitting in the front row. If you had rubbed your greasy nacho paws all over Todd Lewis, maybe, then okay, all right, he has plenty of merch. He can toss on a new shirt. But to pick this innocent girl, come on, we can do better. Do better. Do better. Eat your nachos, get your own napkins, and wipe your own hands. Wipe your own arse. Wipe your own face. Wipe your fucking self off this planet. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. We're all doing the best we can. And you know who's doing the best of us all? You guys. Because you just are the fucking best. At least in my eyes, which means nothing in this world. But if it did, then just know that you're a little angel from above. Okay, I love you so much. See you back next week. Okay, I love you. Bye forever. Bye.
Splash. 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 Splash your sails.